Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 24th of January, recording at 9:20 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly a little bit weaker. The pattern's pretty much the same. We're getting more mean reversion by the ASEAN sector. China mostly drifting. The Japanese market was a little firmer today, so was Australia. Australia was quite steady. In Europe, we had mixed activity here overall. The UK had one of the better performances, up 0.81%. And in the Americas, we had gains across the boards. The best gains occurred in the US, particularly the US NASDAQ Composite. Up just over 1%, up nearly 1% in the Dow, and up just over 0.5% in the S&P. And long-dated government bond prices were a little bit steadier here today. The dollar index was a little bit weaker, down to 78. We've got the euro up at 136.45. Sterling hovering around the 160 level, and the Aussie dollar getting back up close to parity against greenback once again. In precious metals, and this is interesting, or remains interesting, we had a little further slippage here in silver and gold. Silver is down to 26.92 as I speak. That's down half a dollar. And we've got gold at 13.33 and a half. That's down over 9. Platinum and palladium are firmer, but both down, well, in comparison, but both down a little bit on the day. Crude oil also slipped, the NYMEX crude, down to 87.73. That's down $1.38. Incidentally, Brent is at least $8 higher, more like $8.50 higher. Lumber firm again today, and the industrial metals, copper and tin, were up. The others were slightly lower. And in the grain and bean complex, rough rice was higher, and the star performer probably wheat. Well, wheat and rough rice, both decent gains. Soybeans and corn slipped a tiny bit. Okay, what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, we have some nervous action here overall, particularly in the Asian markets, where sentiment has been hit by the surging commodity prices that we've seen. That's something that will come as no surprise to any subscriber, because commodities have been described in the last couple of months at least in this service as both an opportunity and the next risk for equity markets. The view being that when commodity markets became too strong and moved up to front page news in the financial sections, then that would weigh on stock markets somewhat. Now, to put this in perspective, though, I am not I'm not very bearish. I do have a couple of hedge short positions in the NASDAQ and in the S&P index, but overall I've got a full, fully invested portfolio, and we'll keep it that way. But I have shifted a little bit further out of Asia and a little bit more into energy in the form of the nuclear industry, uranium shares. As you would have seen last week, perhaps. But I'm not that bearish. I think this is more of a squall here right now. And evidence to support that would be the retreat in in precious metals. I don't think that'll do any harm at all. I think that's part of a mean reversion process overall. And we don't have runaway crude. We don't have runaway industrial commodities. There's no room for complacency here in crude with this disparity between the Brent and the NYMEX crude. Now, specialist petroleum analysts may have a better reason for this divergence, but I would put it down to the fact that natural gas, largely shale gas in the United States, has been something of a game changer, as we have felt since we first became aware of it. And that's helped to keep the U.S. domestic crude price a little lower than it would otherwise be. Whereas Brent shows what's going on in Europe, if not beyond. Excuse me. So, I don't think things are too serious on the commodity front at this stage, but food price inflation is a very emotive subject in Asia, as I've mentioned repeatedly, and not just in the last few months. We saw it affect the markets back in 2008 as well. And high commodity prices at that time, we had very high crude as well, and that was weakening global stock markets before that many people became aware of the banking crisis that was to break later on in the year. So I certainly don't expect another banking crisis. Share action is pretty good overall, perhaps due particularly to a bout of short covering. But I do expect this nervousness to continue a little longer, and it'll lead to a bit more mean reversion relative to the medium-term trends approximated by the rising 200-day moving averages. In terms of opportunities here, well, there are always opportunities. Have a look at Owen's review in here today. Well, as always, he always has interesting copy on hand. And I was interested to see some real strength in the uranium miners here today. I do feel that's going to remain a very inform sector. I think not only for the short term, but I think it's got a lot of long-term potential as well. How much long-term potential it has depends on a lot of variables, not least what happens to the prices of all the other energy sources. Now, for instance, we have coal prices moving up very sharply right now. The crude price is not moving up sharply, but it's been very steady in recent weeks. And we've seen the stockpiling in uranium, and I think that's something that's very likely to continue. And a lot of those uranium shares, while they've doubled or more, they did so from such very, very depressed levels following the end of that 2008, early 2009 bear market. And then most of them have only just completed or just near the upper side of big base formation patterns overall. So I maintain it's an interesting sector. And jumping around here, if the Asian markets come back a little further, that will make them really quite attractive once again. I mean, Thailand was one of the hardest hit. I've taken my profits in Thailand, but you know, I look at that market and the Thai index still yields 3.8%, and the multiple is around 14 on historic earnings. Future earnings will be better. There's some political concerns at the moment as it according to today's paper. I was not aware of that when I lightened my position further last week, or actually got out of it last week. But Thailand's never that far from a little bit of political turbulence. But my point really is, if these markets come back down, improving valuations, then they will look extremely interesting once again, and it should be pointed out that they are still to the left of their rising 200-day moving averages. What about the West? Well, just going to have a little cough here, excuse me. Well, we continue to like Western companies that are leveraged to the global economy. And they've done well overall, and the global economy is doing quite well. I'm leading with an article today in my copy, which is on Davos, but it's Davos, talking about Davos getting more optimistic and thinking in terms of a growth super cycle. Well, hopefully that's not too much of a contrarian indicator, but sort of the gloom and doom that has been prevalent in the last two Davos gatherings, that has, you know, you can't sustain that when stock markets are going up and most of the global economy is actually doing quite well. And it hasn't been sustained. So they're kind of adopting the, or some of them at any rate, are adopting the view expressed by the fine team at Standard Chartered Bank, who wrote that super cycle report. I've posted it a couple of times, and I'll post it again this evening, just for your convenience. So it's by no means a bleak outlook out there. Yes, of course, the West's problems of debt and high unemployment remain. They'll be around. They'll be a factor for the next few years, at least. But that doesn't mean that the West is going to fall back into some sort of grim recession or Japanese-style deflation. It'll probably be a modest growth area. And companies in the West that are leveraged to the global economy will probably do quite well. Overall, so again, and those are Fuller Money themes. I'm quite optimistic about Fuller Money themes overall. And of those, though, as I just mentioned earlier on, Asia, these Asian markets are in a corrective phase here still, and that'll lead to a better buying opportunity. In terms of currencies, well, the dollar's given up a fair amount of ground against the hard currencies and things like the Singapore dollar, for instance, and resources currencies in general. I don't think we're going to see any big drama in here in the short term in currencies, and that's a good thing if that forecast proves to be accurate, because that will lend confidence in markets generally. Expect a little bit of ranging turbulence in some of these stock markets, but leading to buying opportunities. And what about long-dated government bonds? I haven't said much about those today, but the rallies in prices or the dip in yields following the earlier surge upwards that we saw from sort of September into December. This, in terms of the bond prices, this looks like a dead cat bounce. In other words, we're not getting much in the way of short covering. We see even less in the way of any new buying of any consequence. I think this will be resolved with further downward breaks in those bond prices and additional rises in the long-dated yields. What about gold and silver drifting down here? Well, you know, they haven't been doing that well really since November, and when they got those first downward dynamics, and when I just turned cautious on the sector. I don't think that the secular bull market is over. I don't see any reason why it should be over, and I don't see any evidence that it's over. But I have frequently described it as a crowded trade, and I think you're seeing a little bit of liquidation there. And that won't do the sector any harm whatsoever. The interesting time will be as and when they range back to those rising 200-day moving averages. And you can be sure that we will be keeping a very close eye on that and commenting on it all the way. Meanwhile, I think that's pretty much touched on the main points that I wanted to cover. So, once again, all the best to all of you.